JC Corcoran Podcast. I got to ask you, you brought up As Good As It Gets. I know that you do a Jack Nicholson impersonation. Could I get you to do that? And by the way, have you ever done that in his presence?
You know, when we shot As Good As It Gets and I had to do that particular scene, Jack was in the house that day. I didn't do it, you know, in the scene. I do it to the woman I'm working off of, but he actually was on set. And so I just kind of would, like, I was whispering to the director, is there any chance we can get Jack the hell out of here, please? Maybe get lunch or something? Because I was very uncomfortable with the idea of him in there. But when I saw the movie for the first time, he was sitting next to me, so I was kind of watching with one eye on the screen and one eye at him to see how he's going to react. But he, you know, he's okay with it. I'm not the first person to emulate Jack's very unique voice and mannerisms.
Which, of course, goes something like this.
Well, Jack, I've got nothing to say to you. For God's sakes, I'm standing here without words coming out of my mouth.
Wow.
Wait, I have a much better one that I'll do, though. Yep. All right, you ready for this? Yep. I never do this, but I'm going to do it because I feel, I don't know, something special is happening here.
A kinship.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Ted Koppel. This is Nightline.
Whoa!
Tonight. And forgive me for sounding overzealous on this one particular point. Nurse Betty has arrived.
How about that?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
It is Thursday, the 26th of August, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. That would make me, I guess, JC. How you doing? If you are listening in Illinois, if that's where you live, I hope you got some masks stuffed away somewhere, because the breaking story this morning is that Governor Pritzker of Illinois is going to issue a mandate for indoor masks. All right. So even when you're inside, you're going to a restaurant and a gym or something like that, you're going to have to start wearing your mask. This is going to be part of a news conference that Governor Pritzker is going to be holding a little bit later on this morning. I don't go into Hobby Lobby for the same reason that I don't eat at Chick-fil-A. First of all, I think the Chick-fil-A thing is completely overblown, totally overblown. It's nuggets of chicken, and their lemonade's pretty good, and I think their dipping sauce is nice. And it's, you know, they put pickles on a chicken sandwich with some sauce. Big deal, okay? It's a piece of chicken or some chicken nuggets. They're a little better than what you get at some of the other fast food places. All right. Same thing with Hobby Lobby. Okay. Hobby Lobby is just Michael's on steroids. So I'm putting together this souvenir wall, sort of this shelving thing with all of these things that I've collected over the years. I threw out or auctioned off or gave away or sold, oh my gosh, probably 75% of my memorabilia about 2 years ago, but I kept the really, really good stuff, okay? Like the baseball that my uncle gave me when he was with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1957. That ball is autographed by everybody from Walter Alston to Sandy fucking Koufax and Don Drysdale and people like that. So I kept stuff like that. You get the idea. I have some other memorabilia that you'll see behind me in a new set that I'm building for the video stuff that we'll resume shooting again. I took pretty much the summer off from social media, and I'll talk more about that later as we get ready to return to Facebook in a couple of days. So I'm looking at these baseball little display things. Now, they have them everywhere, but they're like $15 a piece. But as I was Googling for them the other day, it said that Hobby Lobby had them for like $2.99, and they got the smaller ones that aren't as fancy. I don't need anything fancy. I know people for whom the whole display thing of sports memorabilia is really, really serious business. There was one guy I played baseball with for a while, and came to his house for a Super Bowl party, and I couldn't believe the money that he poured into the displaying of his sports memorabilia. I think the frames and stuff like that might have been more valuable than some of the stuff inside him. So again, long story made short, I end up in Hobby Lobby yesterday because they're the only ones that have what I'm looking for. Well, I get there, and of course, they're sold out. They don't have them. Now I'm in Hobby Lobby, and I'm walking around. They have all of the Christmas stuff out. It's all out. The Christmas trees. At first, I was like, oh, they got some wreaths and some ornaments and stuff like that. You come around the corner. No. Completely, fully lit Christmas trees in full regalia. Okay. Should I point out again that it is the 26th of August? And in talking to people about it, they're like, oh, this stuff's been up for 3 weeks. But, you know, there's a war on Christmas. There's a war on Christmas. Yes. Christmas has really been relegated to third-class status, even though we're 4 months away from Christmas Day, and people are already trying to celebrate with the, I guess, the pumpkin spices part of it. I know it's primarily Halloween, but I think it's all part of the sickness that we have about what happens from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. There's a big difference between liking Christmas and stalking it. No wonder so many people hate the holidays because, you know, until about 20, 30 years ago, it's like you'd start thinking about the holidays maybe a week before Thanksgiving when it's like, oh, look at the pumpkins are out. Now they've got us thinking about Christmas 4 months before the day.
Suddenly it's Christmas right after Halloween. Forget about Thanksgiving, it's just a buffet in between. There's lights and tinsel in the windows, they're stocking up the shelves. Santa's slaving at the North Pole in his sweatshop full of elves. There's got to be a build-up to the day that Christ was born. The halls are decked with pumpkins and ears of Indian corn. Dragging through the falling leaves in a one-horse open sleigh. Suddenly it's Christmas. 7 weeks before the day. Suddenly it's Christmas, the longest holiday. When they say season's greetings, they mean just what they say. It's a season, it's a marathon, retail eternity. And it's not over till it's over and you throw away the tree. Outside it's positively balmy, in the air nary a nip. Suddenly it's Christmas, unbutton and unzipped. Yes, they're working overtime, Santa's little runts. Christmas comes but once a year and goes on for 2 months. Christmas carols in December and November too. It's no wonder we're depressed when the whole thing is through. Finally it's January, let's sing Auld Lang Syne. But here comes another heartache, shaped like a valentine. Suddenly it's Christmas, the longest holiday. The season is upon us, a pox that won't go away. It's a season, it's a marathon, retail eternity. And it's not over till it's over and you throw away the tree. No, it's not over till it's over and you throw away the tree. It's still not over till it's over and you throw away the tree.
Loudon Wainwright III right there, the guy who did Dead Skunk back in the 1970s, and also has a role in Elizabethtown, the Cameron Crowe movie. I think before the song I said the sickness that begins from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day. No, not Thanksgiving. Halloween is when it all starts. Halloween is what I meant to say. So believe it or not, there's an end to this story. So, you know, so I don't go into Chick-fil-A. I don't like these guys. I don't like these two guys. The Hobby Lobby guy is going around trying to convert the whole world to his brand of Christianity. And there's a lot of anti-LGBTQ stuff buried in all of it, as is the case with the Chick-fil-A guy. Usually going to Hobby Lobby, I don't need a Chick-fil-A. And same thing with Jimmy John's. That creepy Jimmy John's guy who, you know, he pays money, exorbitant amounts of money, to go on what is, you know, supposed to be some sort of a hunting expedition in Africa. But it's closed off. It's closed off. The animals are basically fenced in. They're like, look at me. I killed me an elephant. Well, it's another business to scratch off, just not doing business with it. Well, JC, you're advocating boycotts? No, I'm just saying that I don't agree with them, so I don't want to associate with them, and I don't want to patronize their businesses. Let somebody else do it. And like I said, I generally get along fine without without Jimmy John's, Hobby Lobby, and Chick-fil-A. My life was fine before they arrived on the scene. My life is fine now without them. A 2020 Olympian from China said her gold medal is already peeling. The medals were made using recycled materials from Japanese citizens, then plated with gold, but the Olympics organizing committee claims the peeling is only a protective coating. Well, we'll see, won't we? The Food Network made its first script. Here we go again. Its first scripted holiday movie, and it's going to premiere on Disney Plus in November. It's called Candy Coated Christmas. Monica Lewinsky is a producer of that new series called Impeachment, and she made the writers keep in the scene where she flashes her thong to Bill Clinton. She said, quote, "I shouldn't get a pass just because I'm a producer," end quote. I wonder if she's going to be as brave when it comes to the cigar scene. Monica, your move? Honey Boo Boo turns 16 this weekend, and she doesn't want to be called Honey Boo Boo anymore. She said, "My mama did not name me Honey Boo Boo. My name is Alana." Thank you. Let me update my Rolodex. You forget stuff like this. Cher dated Val Kilmer back in the 1980s. Their nicknames for each other were Valus Maximus and Cherus Reprimandus. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. These two deserve each other. Ron Jeremy. Oh, my God. Where do I start with all this? He's been indicted on more than 30 counts of sexual assault involving 21 women. If I read you the charges, well, actually, I probably should. And the picture of him in court, by the way, you would just look at him. You'd never convince anybody under the age of 20 that this guy was actually a porn star. Yeah, 21 women over the past two decades. His real last name, by the way, is Hyatt. Not Jeremy. The victims range in age from 15 to 51. Jeremy pleaded not guilty to 12 counts of forcible rape, 7 counts of forcible oral copulation, 6 counts of sexual battery by restraint, 4 counts of sexual penetration by a foreign object, 2 counts of sexual penetration of an unconscious or asleep person, and 1 count each of lewd acts upon a child under the age of 14 and 15, sodomy by use of force and assault with intent to commit rape. This all according to the district attorney. He says he's innocent on all charges. He's 68 now. He'll return to court on October 12th for a pretrial conference, and he'll be in jail for all of that time because the Twin Towers Correction Facility in Los Angeles set the bond at $6.6 million. He's not going anywhere. I remember very late 70s when there were these rumblings in the porn industry going, we got this next superstar. Where do you see this guy? This guy is going to take over the male side of the porn industry. What's his name? Ron Jeremy. And so you see him on camera back in the 1970s, the very early ones. And it's like, okay, he's okay, I guess. A little on the hairy side. A little on the ugly side, but he does have the monster schlong and seems to be able to make it work on command, on cue. And I remember them saying way back then when they were introducing him, oh, he's really funny too. He's going to bring an aspect to porn that has never really been involved in that. Is this is going to be really legitimately funny. And he was sort of wisecracking and stuff. And what they said is exactly what happened. I mean, this guy turned out to be like the biggest thing in porn for like 20 years. And then a funny thing started to happen. He started to get really, really ugly and started gaining weight. And then I didn't see him for years, and then he resurfaced, I don't know how many years ago it was, and he had this big old pot belly, and the hair all over his body was more like thatch, and the movies just looked absolutely absurd, because you got like this hot 19-year-old chick, and here's big old fat Ron Jeremy slobbering all over her. So in 1990, we're out in Los Angeles, and there's Ron Jeremy. walks right into our interview room. You know, this is that thing where we would go out there and they would bring us one star after another. Usually it was music people, but it was LA, so they brought in actors and comedians and stuff like that. And they're like, you want to talk to Ron Jeremy? Yeah, bring him over here. So we brought him over and we had him on the air. And then years later, we had him on again. It was sometime in the 2000s, and he was going to be doing an appearance over at one of the gentlemen's clubs on the east side. And they said, would you like to have him on the air? I'm like, sure, yeah, we'll have him on. And they started trying to stick us with the cost of a limo. We used to have legitimate big Hollywood and New York stars in the studio on the show on a regular basis. Nobody ever asked for a limo. And all of a sudden, Ron Jeremy, in the waning days of his porn career, is going to start demanding a limousine like he's fucking Neil Diamond or something. Anyhow, here we go back to 2007. Now, I'm sure there's some Aunt B's out there who are going to complain and yell and scream about this, but let's be honest and let's be adults. The porn industry is huge, and it's even huger right now during the coronavirus pandemic. Porn consumption up something like 50%. Billions and billions of dollars spent on porn every single year. It also seems like the people who do the most complaining about it are the ones who are using it the most. And by last count, this guy starred in 1,600 of your favorite porn movies. Ron Jeremy. Today, our JC A-List interview of the week.
And now there's a new book called The Hardest or The Hardest Working Man in Show Business. There's something in parentheses there. It's a very interesting picture section because you're in there with everybody from Brad Pitt to Carrot Top and every stop along the way. Do you ever get the sensation that people are just sort of basking in your reflected glory? It's like, hey, I'm not built like that, but I'm standing next to somebody who is?
Yeah, Brad Pitt loses sleep every night that he hasn't gotten him. He goes, I'll give up all my good looks to have that just one day with that schmeckle.
Ron, you know? How old were you, and can you remember the moment when you were probably a kid, I guess, when you realized that you were, shall we say, different?
It's a funny story. I was 15 years old. I was in Boy Scout camp, and I was tying up my high boots, and I realized that I could actually kiss where the sun don't shine. So I called my dad on the telephone. And this is a true story. I said, Dad, can a guy do that? I felt like I could do that. He goes, is anybody else in the room with you? No. He goes, well, may I suggest you don't tell too many people about this? Let me be the only person you tell the story to. Because it's nothing bad, but it's just a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, so when you get to be 18 years of age, the girls are going to kiss it for you.
Mm.
So just let it go and worry about it when you're older.
This did not run in the family? There's nobody else? You don't have, like, brothers?
Yeah, family. Look, when we were little kids, we always would go to the bathroom in front of each other as little kids, you know? So I think the family's a little bit endowed, yes.
Yeah. In the pre-Viagra days, everybody's sort of been there. You're tired. You're worried about something else going on. And even with a fluffer, sometimes things don't work or didn't work.
I'm going to be radio savvy. Yes. They don't rise to the occasion.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon.
How radio savvy of me.
Yeah, and now you've got a half a dozen at least people, sound guys, light guys, everybody said guys running the camera, the whole thing, standing around waiting for you. And what did you do?
And an idiot director will go, we're losing daylight. We're losing daylight. A smart director like me will tell the actor, look, relax. There's no pressure. Just do the soft core, huggy, kissy, romantic stuff. We'll get to the hardcore whenever you're ready.
Mm.
You take the pressure off the guy. You get these idiot directors who go, guys, come on, man. We're losing time, man. We got to hurry. Come on. Yeah, that'll work on a schmeckle. Yeah, that'll work. Because, again, why do you think there's so few actors that lasted so many years? Like myself, Peter North, Randy West, Tom Byron. There's only a handful of us lasted 20 years.
Don't say a handful.
Because it was hard to do. Yeah. All these other guys would come along and couldn't do it.
They're constantly changing the women who are in the movies, but it's the
right,
guys.
Right, but the same guys 20 years. Yeah. But now you're going to see a whole new thing now. Because of Viagra, now you'll see a lot of different guys. Because now almost any guy can do it now. But the thing that's good is because of the fact that girls like Jenna Jameson or Christy Canyon or Brianna Banks or Jesse Jane or Tara Patrick, these girls are putting away millions of dollars. You know, Jenna's put away $17 million, supposedly, right? So the fact that these girls are making this kind of money, we're getting an amazing influx of women who are breathtaking, who are just absolutely gorgeous. They're dancers from all over the country who were a house dancer making $1,000 a week. They see these porn stars come into their club and make many thousands a day. They go, well, I could do that. And then they go to California. They make a few movies, along with girls from Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary.
Yeah.
You know, they come to L.A. to make films. They're breathtaking. But it's just a beautiful crop of women, like, just unbelievable.
Ron Jeremy, thanks for spending a little time with us here in St. Louis.
Buddy. Hey, guys, thank you, and thank you, girls, for those good questions.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
And
thanks.
If you ever want a job... No.
Call you, Ron.
We've tried. They won't take it.
See, and that's the way he was in all the interviews. Very upbeat, friendly guy, just having a good time. And it's easy to forget that that's the shiny veneer that they have in the porn industry. And the closer you get to it, the less you want to know. See, it's always fun until somebody ends up with 4 counts of sexual penetration by a foreign object. Yesterday, we told you about Spike Lee, who... In addition to being a brilliant director and a really, really smart guy, I've interviewed him maybe 2 or 3 times. He's a really, really sharp guy, but he's also half nuts. He's re-editing his 9/11 docuseries after catching heat for including interviews with conspiracy theorists, and he wants you to wait and see before you judge. Sources say R. Kelly trying to sell off his music catalog, but nobody wants it. And yesterday, I was listening to an interview with Harrison Ford, and he was talking about the fact that the part of Han Solo back in the 1970s was originally offered to Richard Dreyfuss. And then they were having problems with him, so they went after Christopher Walken. And in the process of doing all of that, they ended up back with Harrison Ford, who'd been sort of helping them on the production. All right, birthdays today. I don't know if a lot of people know this. His dad is Robert Pine, who played Ponch and John's boss on Chips. Chris Pine, 41 today, from Star Trek and the Wonder Woman movies. Very talented guy. If you like wine and you want to see a good movie about the explosion of the California white wine industry back in the 1970s, rent a movie called Bottle Shock. Bottle Shock. If you're a wino like we are here in this house, you'll thoroughly enjoy it. Then after you see it, I'll answer some questions about it, because we went out there after we saw the movie a couple of times. Macaulay Culkin is 41 years old today. 41. Melissa McCarthy, 51. Norma Jean Baker signed a contract with 20th Century Fox on this date 75 years ago. Today, changed her name to Marilyn after dancer Marilyn Miller, and her last name to her mother's maiden name, which was Monroe, and you know the rest. Hey Jude, released by the Beatles on this date in 1968. Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly solo nonstop across the Atlantic, died at his home in Hawaii at the age of 72 on this date back in 1974. He was surrounded by his families. Good morning, everybody. I didn't want to say this too loud because I really don't want it to happen, but isn't it sort of amazing that Charles Lindbergh has somehow escaped all this cancel culture stuff? I mean, the more you find out about Lindbergh, you find out really what a rotten guy he was. And, you know, half of St. Louis is named after him. It doesn't matter if you're dead or alive anymore in the cancel culture. They'll come and get you after you've been dead for 200 years. And today is National Dog Day. If you got a doggy in your house, know that 53% of us here Americans think dogs make better pets than cats. Only 21% said cats. Everybody else couldn't decide who said they don't like cats or dogs. 49% of Americans they consider themselves a dog person. Only 21% said a cat person. There's a public relations issue with the cats, you know? I've had cats in the house almost my entire life. They're wonderful pets, and we just love them to death. But they get this bad rap. It's a bunch of bullshit. Cats are great pets. 79% of women and 67% of men find it attractive when somebody is outwardly affectionate towards dogs. A recent survey found all states love dogs, but people in California, New York, and Washington love them the most. 68% of dog owners let their dogs sleep with them at least once a month. A poll found 45% of Americans have at least one dog living with them. It was done before the pandemic, though, so it might be higher now. Our favorite dog breeds in 2021, Labs, Golden Retrievers, and Alaskan Malamutes. 49% of us think we could beat a medium-sized dog in a fight. 23% also think they could take down a large dog if they really needed to. Just like fingerprints, every dog's nose print is unique. I have to start doing that around here. Did you eat the cat food? Did you eat the cat food? Let's get a print of your nose, see if it matches up to the stain on the dish, Luna. 70% of dog owners include their dog's name when they're sending out Christmas cards. Yawning is contagious, even for dogs, and they're four times more likely to do it if somebody they know yawns instead of a stranger. Australian shepherds aren't from Australia. They're actually bred in the United States. Here's one I did not know. Puppies are born deaf. They can't hear until they're around 3 weeks old. But dogs aren't colorblind like some people think. They can see blue and yellow pretty well. And the largest dog ever was a mastiff named Zorba that weighed, get this, 343 pounds. The smallest was a Chihuahua named Millie that weighed 1 pound? That there's little doggy. And the OnlyFans saga continues. I have a very good friend who is very, very involved in OnlyFans. She is a beautiful blonde, and that's all I'm going to say. But, yeah, and I had to break the news to her last week that, hey, guess what? They're going to shut you down. Well, at least they're going to shut the good stuff down. Yeah, less than a week ago, OnlyFans announced they'd be banning pornography because the banks wouldn't loan them money because of the business they were in, okay? But OnlyFans has done another 180 and will not go through with the ban, at least not for right now. So what's going on? Well, they've worked things out with the banks, and now they are going to get an infusion, shall we say, of financial help. In a statement, they say, quote, we have secured our assurances necessary to support our diverse creator community and have suspended the planned policy change. It's worth pointing out that they said the change was suspended, which implies it could take effect at a later date. OnlyFans was asked about this and if they're making any changes to appease the banks, and they dodged those questions. Starbucks put the pumpkin spice latte back on its menu this week earlier than ever. And again, I point out that it is the 26th of August. Doctors say you can improve your blood pressure by drinking 2.8 glasses of red wine each week, as well as a couple of daily servings of berries. What would they say about 2.8 glasses of red wine each night? Asking for a friend? A new study says that Mediterranean diet may counter erectile dysfunction in middle-aged men. This kind of diet centers around eating more fruit, veggies, whole grains, oily fish, and olive oil. Mediterranean diets can include some dairy, but it usually limits red meat consumption. And we'll close with a question that you may ponder the rest of the day. Is it really safe sex if you have to glue your junk shut? A 25-year-old guy recently died after he didn't have a condom and decided to use industrial-strength epoxy as protection instead. So he just sort of glued the opening shut. All right. He and his girlfriend were also sniffing some of the glue. Well, as long as you're down there, might as well have a good sniff, I guess she was thinking. So they obviously weren't thinking clearly. This all happened in June. We're just hearing about it now. He died at the hospital of multiple organ failures, and it's not clear if the glue seeped into his bloodstream or what. So regardless of what dumb thing you do today, rest assured that you're not as dumb as this guy. And on that uplifting note, we say that's it. The J.C. Quarquin podcast is in the can for Thursday, the 26th of August, 2021. We're here every morning. We post at 7 a.m. It's absolutely free. We archive all of our podcasts. You can punch around on various platforms. And look, thanks to our technical director, Everett Marshall, who makes the whole thing possible. Email me, jc@jcontheline.com. We're on Facebook at The Showgram with J.C. Quarquin. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Quarquin Podcast.